And thank you. Thank you, choir. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, media team, for your preparation, working behind the scenes so that we could come together and use these tools. And Abraham, I wanted to let you know, you heard those people applauding just at the mention of your name. You may not know why they applauded. They were relieved I did not call their name. Those are the people I, thank you, Lord. I don't know exactly who that is, but that's not me. thank you. All right, let's go into the red letters. We got a question for you today. What is the one thing you absolutely need? What is the one thing in life you absolutely need? And let me ask you another question related to that. Does everything have to be going all right for you to be all right? Does everything have to be all right for you to be all right? When things don't fall in place, do you fall to pieces? Today I want us to talk about what I believe the greatest obstacle keeping you from living a life of true faith with joy. The thing that keeps the church on the sidelines. The thing that keeps us from experiencing a true life in Christ. And this morning, I want to talk about that. Now, some might guess that the greatest obstacle to the church perhaps are the big sins. The big sins, perhaps like debauchery, scandal. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but the reality is 99% of the people are not involved in some scandalous sin, some act of debauchery in Southern Baptist life. I believe that, though a problem and one that makes the headlines from time to time, I don't believe that's the greatest. You say, well, Pastor, maybe it's all these false teachers. Yes, there are false teachers in churches, and we see this with the false gospel, prosperity gospel, name it and claim it. You and I both know that that's a false gospel, and it is being taught from time to time. Sometimes it's liberalism. Jesus is not the only way. We're all just going to hold hands one day and sing kumbaya, and we're all going to go to heaven. No, that's not what the Bible teaches, though there are liberal trends and such. But that's 99% of the people in Southern Baptist life are not dealing with that issue. But I do believe that when we look here, especially in the South, the one thing that is needed often is not being done. And today we're going to go to a passage of Scripture found in the red letters of the Gospels, Luke chapter 10. It's just an encounter Jesus has with some very close followers, some personal friends at their home. And we pick up in verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village. It's Bethany, by the way. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that. That good part, which will not be taken away from her. Now let's look at the necessary context. When you look at chapter 10, some exciting things are happening. The 70 are sent out with the power of God on their life. Later on, they come back amazed. Even the demons respond to us in your name. And all the while, right before this passage, a certain lawyer comes to him, and the Bible says he comes, and he doesn't just ask a question. Luke says, by the Holy Spirit, the lawyer came and tested Jesus. Anytime a lawyer wants to come and ask you a question, be careful. They don't just ask regular old questions. It's kind of like the modern media today. A lot of times they're not coming to ask a question, they're coming to make a point, and you are the object. And that's probably the way Jesus felt this day when this lawyer said, oh, Rabbi, oh, they usually butter you up, you know, good Rabbi. And so he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? In essence, what he was asking him, what is the one needed thing for me to ensure that I'm a righteous person in God's sight? So he asked the question. Of course, Jesus responded with the parable of the Good Samaritan. Of the Good Samaritan, kind of a shit was a. It was a wake-up call. It still is today for all of us. And we are in active church vocational life. Man, I'm telling you, light is on you. Light is on you. On me. But then I think he's also trying to illustrate that one needed thing. What does it really look like to be someone who receives a gift called eternal life, who inherits eternal life? What does that look like? So today we see the lives of two disciples, Martha and her sister Mary. Now they had a brother, a lollipop for anybody who knows the brother's name. Lazarus, thank you. I don't have one on me, but put it on my credit. Lazarus, and these were good friends of Jesus. Whenever he was in Jerusalem, he'd often go over the Mount of Olives, about 5-6 miles to the east, and he would stay in this little village called Bethany. So these were good friends of Jesus. We're talking about these sisters were there watching him being crucified. I'm talking about these are serious followers of Christ. You know all about the story about Lazarus, unique experience. Man, he loved these guys. But look at the contrast. What does Martha do? She's busy slaving over dinner for her special guest and perhaps maybe some neighbors that have come in and anybody that she would have nearby, and her sister, of course, and brother, more than likely. And she's just busy, 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 and Mary's, her sister, is not there. Now, it was Martha's home. She is large and in charge. And the first thing we see when Martha greets her guest, Jesus, although her friend, she got in his face. She got in his face. I mean, she has the audacity of asking Jesus, why are you in here and why are you not telling Mary to help me? Can't you see I need help? Or as we like to say in the South, help. I need some help over here. Mary is not in Jesus' face. Mary is where? At Jesus' feet. One distracted by many, many things. That's what Luke said. She was distracted with much serving. Busy, but not where she needed to be. Mary is the devoted disciple. She's devoted. Jesus is in the house. Stop everything. Jesus is in. She got feet. She got feet. She got feet. Mary is complaining about all the service she's got to do. Busy. Serving. But service to her had become a pain. It had become a pain. I cannot believe the nominating committee asked me another year to be on that committee. I always have to get up. I have to get up to church early to serve on that committee. We have to come up here on Saturday, get ready for Sunday. I've already served on that. I don't know if I'm going to teach Sunday school this year. You know, I've been teaching it, and I'm so tired of teaching. I want to just sit down and I just want to get under the Word. That's a good thing. That's a good thing to be under the Word. But let me tell you something, friend. Too often, we let good things rob us from the great thing. No, you're not out committing adultery. You're not out teaching a false gospel. You're not out stealing from people at 3 o'clock in the night, pulling on car doors, trying to get cash or guns. You're not doing any of that stuff. You're not out there breaking the law. No. We're doing good things. Good things. That's not the question. The question is, are you doing the one most important thing, the great thing? Or have you gotten so distracted that even service to Jesus has become an annoyance? It's starting to annoy you. Things aren't perfect, perfect, perfect. Everything is not done right. Ask yourself, why is that? Really, is anything else perfect in life? So they forgot the ranch dressing. Do you really need to post that on social media? Oh my gosh. Come on, people. You see, oftentimes what we're trying to do is, why aren't y'all helping me? Boy, preachers can get that way. We can get that way. You don't think we can throw a pity party pretty quick? They don't see all the things I do up here when nobody's looking and nobody's up here, and they don't see all this and that and the other. Boy, I'm telling you, we can get down in Mully Grubs just like the regular person can. We put our pants on the same way you do. Why? Because when you try to start impressing people, like Martha was doing, rather than trying to please Jesus. You see, to Mary, service was a pleasure. It was a pleasure. She was trying to please Jesus. She was not interested in Jesus being impressed with her. But Martha was. You can get so distracted with the things that you're doing that it will distract your heart from the Lord. That's the comparison of the two. Now let's look at what happens when you get distracted. The obstacle of much, much serving, it can be even good things. But there's a price to pay when you get distracted, and we see it here in Martha's life. You begin to lose your focus. You begin to lose your focus. She was distracted with much serving. I don't know about you, but when I lose my focus of what really matters, God, my faith, my family, my personal responsibilities, my friends, when I get these things all out of order, you talking about a really lost feeling, an anxious feeling, when life starts to become a bother instead of a blessing, is when you lose your focus. I remember the first time Terry and I decided to go by and see our grandchildren and visit. We have to go to Central Louisiana to see our three oldest grandchildren. God's blessed us now with a fourth grandchild, a little boy. We're so pleased for Jay and Ellen, and William's doing great. Thank you for those who prayed for them. We appreciate that. We were fortunate to be able to be up there when he was born. But just like yesterday, we went down and saw the grandchildren, and we saw Scott and Natalie too. They're important. I don't mean to make less than that, but we saw grandchildren, and when we go down there, you learn pretty quickly there's an exit you don't miss. This trip can either be 30 minutes longer or 30 minutes shorter. You have to make a decision, because at Amite City, you want to take that exit to go to Central Louisiana. You want to go as the crow flies on a diagonal, on a two-lane road, no stops, no traffic, all the way to Central Louisiana. Well, if you don't, guess where you get to turn at? Your next turn? Interstate 12. Anybody been on Interstate 12 lately? Exactly. This brother knows what I'm talking about. I got a testimony over here. You won't stay off Interstate 12 as much as possible, because while it's not that much farther, it is a whole lot longer, and you'll know it quickly when you get on it. Bumper to bumper, 30 miles, and you are at their mercy. If it's going to be 30 minutes, it's going to be an hour, 2 hours. Well, I tell Terry all the time, I said, whatever we do, don't let us get twice. We have got to talking about stuff. Nothing. Just talking. No great plans. Not solving any problems. We just, by that time, we've read everything. She's read everything. I'm not reading while I'm driving. She's reading everything she's wanting to read. I've listened to everything I want to listen. And we're just talking. And now I'm thinking, man, when is this exit? And she said, well, where are we? I said, I don't know. Sure enough, Interstate 12, 2 miles away. Oh, man, we missed the exit. Distracted. Now, anything my wife wants to talk about is important. It's very important. But we have both agreed it's very important to take Amite City. We need to get there on time, spend as much time as possible. What happens when you get distracted? You lose your focus, and man, life becomes very complicated. Martha was distracted. The second thing you lose is you lose your fellowship. You lose your fellowship. So you see, Martha is busy by herself in the kitchen. On and on and on. Let me tell you something. While eating is fine and preparing a meal is fine and that's all good, have you ever had people at your home and you were worn out, busy, before they even got there? You are still trying to hide all the stuff in rooms, you know, and put magazines in the drawers and clean everything up, and the pot roast is still in the oven, and you've got to get the bread after the pot roast gets out, and then the vegetable, and you're just busy. Now they're coming in smiling, y'all go sit in there, and you're just slaving away, and then they come in, of course you serve them and make sure, and oh, you want tea, and you get up and you get the tea and all that stuff, and they come, and then you got 2 minutes, y'all do that, I'll take care of the dishes, and you do that, and then when the dishes, oh, it's time for dessert, what would you like? Would you like coffee? Y'all just sit in there and I'll be right with you. And you get all the coffee and you do that and you have the dessert and you come in at the last minute with your piece of dessert and you gobble it up and you drink your coffee and say, oh, don't worry about it. Just lay those right there. I'll get all that. And you take all the dishes. Make sure you don't put those in the dishwasher. Oh, no. Those are great grandmama's china dishes. We hand wash that. So you got to hide those so they don't ask to participate in washing the china. Not that which you would mind for the help, but they may break something. So don't touch my stuff. And so then you get all that done. And by that time, they got to go. They got kids. I mean, it's time for them to go and get their kids from the babysitter. And the whole time you've invited them to your home, you did not have a moment to spend with the people you invited into your home. There was no fellowship. The whole point was to spend time with the people you invited into your home. And we can get so busy with so many things that we have stuffed into our schedule, thinking that somehow we can be in control of every little thing, that it pushes out the most important thing. Being with your brothers and sisters in worship and in service and coming together and hearing the word. Friend, I'm telling you, you can get so busy. Then you wonder why. You know, it just doesn't feel the same at church. You know, things that, and when I study the word, it just doesn't excitement like it used to. Who moved? God didn't move. We didn't relocate the church anywhere. I'm telling you, it could be. The reason you've lost your fellowship is you forgot the one needed thing in your life. And you put a lot of good things in there. But you can lose your fellowship. You can lose your fellowship quickly. Sean Parker, our executive director of Mississippi Baptist, put it this way. He said, you know, when you do not prioritize Christ and His church in your life, oh, it's there, but it's kind of over on the sideline. You got all this other business going on. But when you do not prioritize and put Christ and His church first in your life, you shoot yourself in the foot, but you also shoot your children in the leg, and you shoot your grandchildren in the heart. Because they're watching you. And what mom and dad allow, that's what they're going to follow. And that generation will then be that from the body of Christ when they have children. You and I must not get distracted. But you can also lose your feelings for Christ. I alluded to that just a moment ago, that sense of the closeness of God, the intimacy, that sense. Now, Christianity is not a feeling, it's a faith. But your faith leads your feelings. That's the part of decision. That's a choice. This is of God. This is what the Lord says. My Savior, my Lord says this. I'm going to do it by faith. Well, what happens is then the feelings, the blessings follow the decision of being faithful to Christ. But if you get distracted, you can lose your feelings for Christ, your feelings for the things of God. Literally, Martha told Jesus, Lord, do you not even care? And Jesus said, Martha, have you lost your feet? Do you not know of my love for you? Do you not know of all the places I could have stayed? I choose you, and it's not because of your cooking. I love you. Do you, man, how far away are you from God when you don't think God cares about you? Who cares more about you that they would literally lay down their life and be crucified for your sins and then defeat death so that you can live eternally in the paradise created with God forever? No more stain of sin, no more weeping, no more pain, no more crying. The lamb will lay down with the lion, praise God. You and I are going to be in a place of peace and paradise and service and worship for God for the rest of all eternity. My friend, He cares about you. But if you get so distracted, you could lose your feelings about the very one who cares about you. Why? Worried concerned and anxious about many things. Well, how about the commitments? You say, Pastor, I don't want to get distracted. I've paid those costs before, and I don't want that. How do you stay? Man, follow Mary. Man, Mary is the example. Look what she does. She is literally spending her time being in the whereabouts of Jesus. Being in the whereabouts of Jesus. If Jesus is in the living room and not in the kitchen, she's going to the living room where Jesus is. She wants to be in the presence of Jesus. Again, Martha recognizes this. Lord, Mary's not with me, she's with you. She's left me to serve all alone. In essence, she was blaming Mary for being at the feet of Jesus and not with her. And she's telling Jesus, why is she with you and not with me? Because Mary has made the right decision. You and I need to be in the whereabouts. Wherever, Lord, you lead, that's where I'm going. Lord, if you lead that way, that's where I'm going. I'm following. If you open that door, that's the door I'm going through. We used to sing a song at summer camps. Jake Gulledge introduced it to our youth group years and years ago. Some of these youth are now parents of elementary age kids. That's how long ago it was. But I never, he used to sing a song, if I could just sit with you a while. As a disciple to the Lord Jesus and saying, God, man, I need to get back to just being with you. If I could just sit with you a while. Well, why not? Yes, everything out there and the voices of the world are calling, do this, do this, do this. You ought to. Let me tell you what you ought to do. You ought to be at Jesus' feet. That's what you ought to do. Basking in the worship of Jesus. Basking in the worship of Jesus. As we go into this new year, man, look for wherever Jesus is and be about it. And bask in the worship daily. Just say, man, I'm going to begin my day not of me, all about you. I'm making much of Jesus. Father, I just want to get my mind right. I'm going to get in the Word. It don't have to be a 3-hour Bible study. There's a place for having extended Bible study and being, but just that time alone with God where it's just you and say, man, I don't know, Lord, I don't know what this day holds, but I know you're in control. Now, you can worry about it or you can trust God in it. You want to help get over your worry? Do what the Lord tells you to do, and He's given you responsibility for your choices. He's allowed you to have the choice of what you think, what you say, and what you do. That's on you. That's you. He's given you that choice. What you think, what you say, and what you do. That's your responsibility. Your choice. Choose you this day. Whom you're going to serve. But the rest of it, you're not in control over, my friend. Not a bit. Not a bit. You're not in control of that. You think you are. Well, I'll make a phone call. Knock yourself out. Go ahead and call the Weather Channel. Man, it's going to rain in 35 minutes. It may or it may not. I look for rain every day so I don't have to water grass and flowers. And I'll say, Terry, my app says it's going to rain in 15 minutes. 3 days later, no rain. And dead petunias. You and I are not in control of even things we think we're in control of. We are in control of the things He's given us. Do that. Do that. And then the rest, leave at Jesus' feet. Lord, You are sovereign God. You can take care of it. Some of y'all have got so worried about November 4th or 5th or 6th, whenever it is, first Tuesday in November. You have worked yourself in a frazzle. Lord, what will happen? Oh, Lord, it's the end. This is the most important election in all of our history. The Constitution rests on the election. Listen, do you get to vote? Vote! Can you get involved? Get involved. God has given you the opportunity. Get involved. But if you think you and I are in control of the future of this country, you've not read the book. I am not going to worry about it. I will discuss it. I will talk to you about it. I've got my opinions. But let me tell you something. I am not going to raise my heart rate over it because I'm not in control. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, believe me. I'm going to do everything I think God wants me to do that He's given me responsibility for, but I'm not going to lose my focus on what really matters, because what would it be if you won an election and lost the soul of your own grandkids? You could tell them about Washington, but you couldn't tell them about Jesus. Now, friend, you can lose your focus quickly. I can too. But if I keep my focus on being in the presence of Jesus, wherever He is, His whereabouts, and I keep my focus on the worship of Jesus, my day begins as a worshipful attitude. Lord, I worship You. You're in control. Your love cannot be dominated. It cannot be interrupted. You care for me. You call me to minister. Everything You've called me to do, You will equip me to do. You just tell me to follow You and bask in the worship of the Lord, just giving it to Him, giving it, giving it, giving it, seeing the Lord exalted and magnified, and you be in the position of servant and worshiper. And then when you come on Sunday, bring 7 days worth of worship into His house, saying, man, I have thanked God, I've seen blessings this week, and bring that into, imagine 500, 600 people coming in on Sunday, bringing 7 days of basking in the worship of the goodness of God into His house and worshiping Him on Sunday together as a man. You talking about revival and excitement. That's devotion. Devotion. Then the last thing, being taught the word of Jesus. Luke just simply wrote, she was at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Heard His word. That's what I need to hear today. More than my favorite podcast, though I have podcasts I like to listen to. More than what's the latest on my favorite news channel. More than an old rerun of Julia Child and what dish I'm going to learn to cook today. More than whatever else is going on in this world. By the way, the Braves are about 6 games behind. That's okay. We were 10. So things are better. More than even the standing of the Braves on our way to win the World Series this year. It will be a miracle, but miracles happen. I want to make sure, oh Lord, I have heard Your word. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, the good part of life, which will never be taken away from her. You know, we're not going to leave this world with anything. I think about all the time I spend on keeping the St. Augustine grass growing. I like good grass. I'm talking about St. Augustine grass. Got to clarify things in this crazy world. Man. St. Augustine, cut it 4 inches, not an inch, a half inch lower. Keep it thick. Water it. I love that. You know what? The next person who lives there, they may say, we're just going to put pine straw all over it and cover it up. That beautiful house you've been spending all that time on, you've changed the paint from this and that, and wallpaper, and put in all of that. Guess what? You sell it to somebody, they're going to rip it all off. Probably paint that room green and this room neon purple and make that one fuchsia pink or something like that. And you say, man, they're going to ruin your house. Guess what? We don't leave this world with one thing but the most important thing. Your devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. That relationship with your Creator, your Sovereign who created you, your Savior who redeemed you, your Shepherd who guided you, and your soon coming King who will perfect you and bring you home forever. That's the only thing you're going to take out of this life is your relationship with the Lord and you sharing it with other people, the good news. That's all that's really needed, the one thing. Today, let me ask you this. Are you devoted? In a crazy, busy world, do you have devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you pray with me, Heavenly Father, mighty God? I pray that today, if someone has yet to give their life to Christ, you have been talking to them. They know the gospel. They know they must admit their sin. We've all sinned. They know it. We have. They have. All people have. We've turned from God, but you're calling them to turn to you, to change their mind about who's really King, who's really God, how they should live their life. Lord, I pray they would repent and turn to you and place their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that He is the Savior. He will forgive them. He will care for them. He will save them. And today, take their stand to confess Jesus is Lord. Father, there's someone here. Surely someone is here that you're calling. You've been sharing to the you. They know you've been talking to their heart. And I pray they have the courage during this just to step over, step by somebody in their pew and just to come out to an aisle and make their way to a minister and say, I have been saved and I'm ready to make it public and I am then ready to follow in believer's baptism at the obedience of my Lord. You may be nervous. I was nervous. Oh my goodness, I was nervous. But I wasn't ashamed. Oh God, I pray today, may there be people who get it and be saved. Someone may need a church home. Others may need to take these steps and this altar and turn into a prayer altar and say, God, I've been distracted. I've been losing my focus and my feelings have been just everywhere. And Father, I want to have the devotion of you that Mary had. Lord, I want to come to your feet. I want to worship you again like I used to. I want to hear your word like I hungered for. I want to live a life of devotion to you, Lord Jesus. Maybe today you need to act on that as we sing and worship the Lord. Would you stand? Let's sing together and you come as the Lord leads you today.